the end of the last book, we forgot to mention, we realized right after we finished recording that there was a sports mention.
Oh!
So to make up for it, I'm just going to say they definitely mentioned Driftball in the last book.
But they still haven't told me the rules, so I still can't write my Driftball sports manga fanfic, so what's even the point?
Like, I know this was written before Harry Potter, I'm pretty sure, but I was definitely imagining, like, space Quidditch.
Oh my god. Right, just turn off the gravity. You don't need brooms for Andalites. They can just float just around, like, use those big tails to push off a wall. It's like a cross between the Ender's Game, terrible game, and Quidditch is what it is.
And, like, some, like, artful clouds, like,
decorating. Oh, I bet they get mad when cloud artists sell out and start decorating Driftball stadiums instead of just making the sky more beautiful.
They should be making art, like, for art's sake. They shouldn't be making money off their clouds.
Who does that? It's just precipitation.
I say this because there was a sports moment in this book, too.
Yes.
23? The Pretender.
Yes.
I'm Megan.
I, too, love sports, and I'm Carrie.
Yeah. In this book, we find out Rachel has some kind of sports jersey.
But Tobias,
uses as pajamas.
Tobias was never much of a sportsman, so he doesn't know what sport it was a jersey for.
He was very huffy about it. He was like, I don't really care about sports anymore because I'm a bird, so I don't care that she's wearing like a jersey that makes her look really cute.
Yeah. God, his crush, he's got it real bad. He's got it real bad for Rachel in all forms except elephant, which is a nice detail.
This book was like me from my youth speaking to me now going, remember how deeply you ship these two? Because
Can I just tell people, y'all, maybe go read this book?
I really liked it.
Yeah, it's been a while since we told people to do that, but I loved it to pieces. It felt like a return to form. It had so many things about Animorphs that I love. It had a mystery. It had a moral dilemma on like a small and large scale. It had aliens. It had a doomed romance. It had the kids doing homework in a barn with
apps.
Oh my
god.
There had some goofs and sweetness. I loved it.
Yeah. There was like a really good balance of like really sad, like really like a lot of like Tobias dealing with a lot of like mental stress and agony.
Yeah.
But also a lot of like goofs and like the kids having to be real kids, and like there was like a like metaphor about being a wild animal, but also being a thinking animal.
Yeah,
like it was
struggle.
Just really good.
Yeah. Oh man, I told you this, Megan, but I stand by my stance that this book is perfect, and it cured my seasonal depression, and it's great.
It brought me through this week. I was nervous after the last book, but this one was like, oh yeah. I love these children so much that I love, like, when these books are good, they're so good that, like, I feel like that's going to keep me going when we get to some of the later books.
Yes, we'll always have book 23.
We'll always have this one. Oh, man. Okay, so it starts with Tobias in his meadow, and there's another hawk in the meadow. And immediately I was just like, oh god, he still has hawk problems. He spends so much of this book just being very hungry and not being able to eat, and it was really upsetting to me.
Yeah, that's stressful, like, even as a person with a ridiculous amount of food security and, like, privilege to be able to eat what I need to eat when I need to eat it.
Yeah.
I get stressed when I'm a little hangry, so imagine, like, he's a starving bird. That's terrible.
Yeah. I was, like, snacking and reading this book to, like, someone take him to, like, McDonald's or something at least. Like,
buy this boy a burger. Right, why can't he morph human and go... Okay, sorry. That's obviously part of the dilemma if he doesn't... Yeah.
Yeah, like, there's a part where he was, like, refusing to do that, but I was like, Jake, why don't you, like, offer to take your buddy out to lunch? Like, is they're too busy doing animorph things to do that.
Bird problems. Who's got them? It's Tobias. He always does. So, yes, there's another red tail moving in on his meadow. And we've seen similar conflicts before, I think. But there's a limited set of problems you can have as a wild animal. And most of them stem from some kind of competition in the food chain. Because that's, like, you're pretty low on Maslow's hierarchy of needs.
Yeah. I mean, it does seem like this is sort of, like, a delayed response to his situation, but then I was like, oh, there've only been so many Tobias books so far.
Right.
So he's sort of like dealing with the fact that he has like bird problems where he like there's another hawk in his territory and he's trying to eat these rabbits, but he feels bad about eating the rabbits because it's a mom and her babies. Mm-hmm. And he keeps having these like flashes of being the rabbit when he tries to catch one. And he's trying to like rationalize to himself that like, yeah, it's, I need to eat the babies because the mom is higher up on the thing. So she has to be alive. So I have to eat the babies. That's what I am. I'm a hawk. But then every time he flies down to like go grab a bunny snack, he has these, like, flashes, and then the other hawk gets his food. Yeah. And it's terrible.
It's the worst, and I love that his problem is too much empathy, because it really is, Megan. It's like you said, it's such a good metaphor for his bigger struggle about, like, how do you walk that line between what you have to do in terrible situations and maintaining some kind of a moral compass?
I mean, like, in the end, it ends up being, like, the hawk and the bunny are, like, his two selves. Yeah. And in the meadow, they are both there. And he has to face himself and both
it's his, what's the planet where Yoda is?
Oh, Dagobah?
Yeah, Dagobah. It's his Dagobah cave. He has to go into the cave and take off the rabbit. This is getting rough. He has to take off the rabbit helmet. And
it's the hero's journey where he goes into the cave and there's trials, and he has to come back changed to something.
Yeah, come back changed and eat the rabbit mom after all. It's fine.
Okay. I love this book, but there were a couple things where I was like, maybe this wasn't the best. Okay. Okay, Tobias. So he can't bring himself to eat the rabbit, and the other hawk is, like, breathing down his neck. So he goes to the road and starts eating some roadkill, as you do. And then they, like, 17, like, embarrassing letter thing happens where, like, Rachel happens to be in the road that he's eating this, like, dead raccoon or something on. And she sees him eat roadkill. And he's super embarrassed. And I was already upset for him. And then the fact that, like, he has, like, teen embarrassment about eating roadkill is too much for me.
Oh, yeah, it is the worst of both worlds. He's still really hungry, and also his crush saw him eat roadkill.
Like, this poor boy! Yeah. This poor bird! So, he's, like, super embarrassed, and that's, like, the first third of the book when he's, like, dealing with Rachel. It's like, he's like, she saw me eat roadkill! And I just was very concerned for him. Mm-hmm. So
he spends a while avoiding her. Eventually he has to check in with Jake anyway, just to see what's going on. There's an aside where, Jake tells everybody that they've been kind of taking it easy because remember, David, that was like 2 days ago. They're still all very sleepy probably.
Yeah. They need to like take some days off school and just take a nap.
Oh my gosh.
But it turns out,
take some Benadryl, have some sleep.
Oh my God, please. So then, like, Rachel breaks it to Tobias while Tobias is, like, pretending nothing happened. Like, nothing embarrassing happened.
He also, in an aside, he tells us he sometimes stops by to do Rachel's homework for her.
Yeah, I was just like, oh my God, oh my God, he just does, like, does he hold the pencil with his little bird claw?
Right, I was wondering, like, does he morph human, or is it, like, almost literal chicken scratch writing of, like, Tobias doing his best to scobble's definitely a word, a single answer in like an hour.
Because he doesn't say that he does it with her.
Nope.
Like he tells her the answers and she writes them. No, it's implied that like when she's out, he will come in to her house. Maybe, I guess he could morph human to do the homework.
Right.
But he doesn't seem like he would very often. I also like later on he mentions that he reads a lot, and by that he means he hovers over people who are reading outside and like looks down at the page. And I just, someone give him, like, a little book stand.
Get him an Audible account. Also, hey Audible, like, hit us up.
Audible.com. The audio
choice for birds source. Everywhere.
Yeah, for bird children everywhere.
4 out of 5 Nothlets agree. It's the only way I can read.
Hard to get earbuds to fit in a bird head. But worth it, because the selection of Audible.com.
Listen, they were able to get him, one, a cute little strappy watch, two, a nice purse. I bet they can handle finding a way to get him, like, some big chunky headphones.
Yeah, some baby headphones.
Yeah.
Oh, so Rachel is there, so he doesn't do her homework this time. And she's God, like,
it's like when your cat brings you a dead mouse, except you come home and, like, there's bird track marks all over your homework, and it's just ripped to pieces. Like, Wes is like, aren't you proud of me? Didn't I do a good job? I love you.
Oh, so Rachel says, like, oh, by the way, I heard that some lady is your relative and is looking for you. Here's just a huge, like, thing that you have to deal with, buddy. So it's, like, this lady who's claiming to be his cousin.
Yep.
Who is away taking pictures of animals in Africa. Is back in the U.S. and can't find Tobias. And also there's a letter from his father that is supposed to be read on his birthday.
Mm-hmm. His father's lawyer is the one who's been asking after him, I think. In addition to, it's both the dad lawyer and the cousin are like, hey.
Yeah, there's like a lot of moving parts.
Yes.
And this is only the beginning. Yes. So it's like a twofold, like both, there is an existing letter that is to be read to you on your birthday and you have to talk to this lawyer. And also, your relative you've never met or heard of is suddenly here and wants to take care of you.
Oh, a surprise cousin.
Surprise cousin. And I think even she wasn't, like, they say cousin, and then there's, like, a second part where they say that she's, like, a...
like, a second cousin? Or second, like, or third
cousin. Cousin five once removed.
Yeah.
I also forgot that Tobias's mom isn't dead. Exactly. Yeah. She's gone. Which I don't know. I don't know if we ever... I don't know. I don't remember what happens later. I don't know if you ever find out what the deal with that is.
I have something in my head, but on further reflection, I think it's from fan fiction. So I'm not even going to say it on the air.
I mean, we'll find out. We'll find out. We'll get there. So Tobias is understandably conflicted about this because it seems like a super obvious trap.
Right.
But
like
also...
Wile E. Coyote levels of like big glowing trust me written all over everything, but he wants so badly to believe too this on poor some boy. Level.
And what sucks is that he's like even when he does think it's real, he's also conflicted. Like there's no good option for him, and it's terrible. So Rachel's like, I don't know. I heard Chapman talking to someone about it, and he didn't seem to think that it was a trap, so maybe it's not a trap.
But we should probably figure out.
Yeah.
Anyway, like, we should investigate no matter what.
Yeah, so then I think he goes to the lawyer to see what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of, like,
The whole team does some really cute stakeout and sneaking around. Jake and Cassie go to a Taco Bell date.
Yeah, always Taco Bell.
Yeah.
Taco Bell, live mas, animorphs. Taco Bell for all your fuel needs.
Taco Bell, you can eat as many hot sauce packets as you want. Just please take them outside. Dear God,
please,
you're so messy.
Take them
what? You're so pretty, you strange boy.
Please take your business outside. But thank you for your business. Taco Bell.
Taco Bell, please leave our store.
Taco Bell, please go outside.
Taco Bell, no, that's garbage.
Taco Bell, please don't eat garbage. Please eat our garbage.
Right, please, Taco Bell, the finest garbage. But not literally our dumpster, please. We
Taco
will
Bell.
Be sued.
Taco Bell, I'm making fun of Taco Bell, but now I want some Taco Bell.
That's how they get you. Okay.
Okay. So they're talking about, and Axe is like, Axe and Marco do like a stage.
They're
like,
also on
oh,
a date.
Hey,
yeah.
It's my friend. Let's sit together and talk about the world. And then later on, we find out that like after everything goes down, when Tobias sees Axe again after this, Axe is covered in chocolate. So I want like the mini episode, like the webisode.
Yeah. The missing 10 minutes of this book, please. And Rachel's just hanging out in a laundromat bathroom, like, ready to become a grizzly bear and bust down a wall to save her boyfriend.
Yeah, because, like, it shares a wall with the strip mall lawyer office, which feels right to me, actually. So he talks to the lawyer who is named DeGroat.
DeGroat?
I definitely was... I was definitely just assuming it was DeGroat, and then someone goes, like, DeGroat. It rhymes with boat? DeGroat? Whatever.
So it's DeGroat.
This man.
Mystery lawyer. Super not lawyer suspicious boy. Lawyer. Yeah.
Actually, he's not a good guy. I shouldn't give him a cute nickname. He's annoying. So he's like, oh, hey, Tobias.
who has more human at this point, yeah, and gives you a nice paragraph about, like, I feel like I can't see or hear as well as I normally do, and I miss my wings, and my teeth are barbaric. Oh, how do you walk around with teeth in your mouth? That's gross.
It was so, like, it was heartbreaking, but also, like, really funny, yeah, to see him talk about morphing human the way other characters talk about morphing, like, a bug or, like, right, a bird or whatever. He's like, oh, like, my eyesight's really bad. My teeth feel weird in my mouth.
Yeah.
But then he also says something like, his hands. Doorknob, yeah, is no big deal to me now, but as a bird, that would have defeated me. And it's just like, oh, Tobias, I never thought that much about a doorknob.
Oh, God. And then he's reads also so, like, much like he's his father's son when he's, like, getting overwhelmed by the sweetness of the, yeah, Coca-Cola.
Yeah, because he walks and he's like, nothing to see here. I'm a normal boy. I love to be a human.
I have actual, like, facial expressions. Please, yeah, don't worry about it. It's fine.
I love to make facial expressions.
I love to move the muscles that contract my mouth and eyebrows.
Like, little servos make sounds when you... So, like, he has to, like, sit there and, like, pretend like everything's cool. And they, like, ask him, like, do you want something to drink? And he, like, yells, I would like a Coke! and then he's, like, overwhelmed act style by it, which is the cutest thing.
It's really good. He's just like his dad. But I was also like,
someone take this boy to the mall and buy him a beverage. Like, what's
a leak? Dr. Pepper. It runs in the family. He'd probably, yeah, love it.
Get him a Dr. Pep. So, the lawyer is like, hey, we have this letter. We open it on your birthday, but I'm not going to tell you what your birthday is. That would be too obvious.
And also, it's from your dad, but the man you think is your dad probably isn't your dad.
Yeah.
You've never heard word, yeah, one of this, but this letterman is your real dad.
Yeah.
Not the letterman,
he wrote
but, like,
you a letter.
Yeah.
Come back on your birthday. Even though, like, okay,
it makes no sense for a lawyer's office to say, like, your birthday instead of the actual date.
Yeah. Or like, even, like, your birthday, this date.
Right.
As you know.
Right.
But this guy doesn't seem like a good lawyer.
No.
And I think he also, spoiler, is a controller, yeah, so...
He's got some other stresses on his mind, probably. There's maybe some higher-up pressure.
I mean... Visitor 3 is busy doing all kinds of other stuff, so I'm sure this guy's very little direction in terms of what he's supposed to be doing.
Which is rarely the thing that causes problems for our favorite side controllers. But in this case, yeah. Yeah, I can see that happening.
So Tobias is like, gotta go. And he leaves. And he's like, followed.
There's a brief note about how well-dressed he is because Rachel, yes, picked out his outfit for him.
Yeah, they're like, oh, I guess you're probably not living on the streets because you look, like, really put together. Mm-hmm. And Tobias is like, good thing Rachel gave me this Tommy Hilfiger outfit. Like, is Rachel's mom just like, what's this charge for, like, $100 worth of men's clothes at, like, Tommy Hilfiger? And she's like, don't worry about it, Mom.
Someone must have stolen your card. Like, wow, you got fished.
There's a fashion emergency, Mom. Don't worry about it.
I needed Jake? Like, a fifth outfit to hide in the barn.
Yeah.
Why'd you have to hide an outfit in the barn?
Don't worry.
Yeah. So, yes, so he's being followed. He sees his beautiful chocolate friend.
Yeah. He runs into an Applebee's not to have some sweet apps.
Oh, why?
Unlimited apps.
Please,
but...
you can stay there for 24 hours and just eat mozzarella sticks.
Yes.
It's okay.
But no, he... runs in there and then escapes and morphs, and then because he can't deal with the, like, I really like that he was just like, I did not want to go debrief with everyone and deal with the whole thing we do every time we debrief.
I loved this
pick segment. Everything apart.
Yeah, this is the first time in the book we really get, like, normally folks' teen introductions come at the very start of the book where they say, hey,
yeah,
like, I'm an animorph, do you know what that is? Well, I'll tell you, and here are all my cool friends and here's their deal. But here we get, like, a quarter of the way into the book, and this is the first time Tobias takes a minute to introduce his friends to you, or,
yeah,
to give you his insights about them. And the way he does it is great, because
it's
presented
really
as, like, okay, how would these folks react in this situation?
Yeah.
Which is such a, like, that feels to me like a more compelling way to characterize them. I'm like, this person is like this. Like, show me an example of what they,
yeah,
would do in this particular setting. It's good. It's,
yeah,
good.
It's good.
Good book.
And I also like that Tobias is like, I don't want to do this,
yeah,
today.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, no, it's a nice way to do it, because they have to do this every book, but it's more interesting for the returning readers, especially, to be like, oh, like, Yeah, Cassie would be like that. I've noticed that over time by reading these books. She does, like, want to pick apart every, like, mannerism to use her intuition skills of how people work to, like, figure out what's going on. Should have just sent someone as a fly with him to scope, but whatever.
Oh, no.
Whatever.
Oh, no, they're teens. All right, I'm going to make you do all the choose-your-own-adventure animorphing because that's a much better plan than I had come up with. His description for Rachel really sets the tone for his worries with her throughout the book. He's just like, yeah, Rachel is just going to want to look for the best way to keep me safe, regardless of what I care about or need. And that's like, their whole thing this whole book.
I like that it's like they both really like each other, and there's like Tobias has a lot of worry about if she I guess respects him, but also sort of like if she pities him or not. But there's also this like innate sense of both of them really caring about each other and knowing that the other person cares about them, and it's really nice
so much
because like it's not just a like, oh, they don't know that the other one likes them and they're too embarrassed. Like, it's like, no, they both know that each other likes each other, but they have a lot of stuff going on, and they're babies, and one of them's a bird.
Oh gosh.
So he's like,
I like that. I like that one of them's a bird is the last issue on that list.
Well, she in this book, she's like, it's kind of hard. Having a crush on you when you're always a bird.
That was so good. But yes, no, I also really appreciate that they're so open about these other issues that they recognize, like, this wouldn't be magically solved even if you could be a human again. Also, it sucks that you're not, but
it's poor kids.
Yeah.
So Tobias is like, not today, and he like flies off to the Hork-Bajir Valley because he just like is like, I need a break.
Yeah.
I need to go hang out with some Hork-Bajir.
I need to hang out with someone like 20% more bird-like.
Yeah. A little more bird-like. They just told me a cool story, which is implied he's told the other characters, because Rachel mentions Hork-Bajir seers as being a thing.
Right. So I think he must have told them.
Yeah. Or at least she got some kind of abbreviated version of what the deal is, which is nice. So he, like, flies over, and the Hork-Bajir are like, oh, it's Tobias. And Toby's like, oh, I knew you were coming, which is, I don't know how she knew that.
Elemist intervention.
Yeah. She's, like, maybe she's just, like, extra seer. Like, she can just, like, she actually has magic psychic powers. She's like smart.
I'm very willing to believe it.
She is very like precocious child.
Yes.
Bordering
on not in a creepy way, but there's later on when she's breaking down like this hard line she wants to draw about how like we can't capitulate to their demands. Like, we have to show them that Hork-Bajir are going to be free, or we're going to not get to exist in the world anymore.
She's intense, understandably. Like,
yeah,
with a reason to be. Right. But she's very intense for a child.
Yeah. Oh, but it was cool to see like the straight through line from Dak of Hork-Bajir Chronicles fame to her too. I loved that. But yes, also intense, precocious.
And it's also, like, obviously she has heard the story of Dak and Aldrea, so she is more hardline than... I mean, Dak was intense, but I think he had this, like, hope of, like, no, I'm going to make my people be peaceful. But...
Nope.
But didn't Toby work. Is not in that world.
No.
So Tobias is like, hey, what's up? And they're like, by the way, one of our kids is missing. Like, you know, maybe you were having a tough day, but, a child is missing. By the way, we keep leaving the valley.
Right. We keep going on our own secret missions to bust other Hork-Bajir out of. By the way, there's a secret Yerk weapons facility. Did we mention?
Yeah.
That's where we're busting them out of.
Okay. This was one of the things that took me the whole book to figure out the set pieces. like what the setup for this was. And I don't know if I was just reading. Like, I read quickly and I skip over things sometimes.
Same, though.
So there's a Yerk weapons facility, but the Animorphs don't know where it is. Mm-hmm. The Hork-Bajir have found it. It is near enough to the valley that they can leave, go to this facility, attack,
bust Hork-Bajir out,
out Hork-Bajir, and hold them till their Yerks die or something, and then take them back to the valley. And then once Tobias hears this, he's like, "Oh, Jake is gonna want to know about that, but I won't tell him because he'll want to shut it down." And then there's just a lot of other people saying that Jake would do certain things, but then Jake himself never says anything about it, which may just be a space thing where it's like, we don't have time to have Jake have this conversation too. whatever. So they're like, oh, yeah, so she, like, this kid probably has left the valley, but they wouldn't know how to come back. So we're going to have to go find them. And Tobias is like, yeah, we'll help you out.
Right, but I also can't, the additional complication is introduced of, like, we'll help you, but Tobias can't tell Jake where this facility is, and the Hork-Bajir won't tell him where the facility is. So it's all very convoluted.
Yeah, because they aren't planning on going to the facility yet.
Right, they're just like, going on a kid hunt.
Yeah, just like, this is why we leave, but we have to find the kid. They're probably just, like, out somewhere. What's his,
Beck. Beck, they have to find Beck, yeah.
They have to find Beck, recording artists.
They need those new tunes. Come on. It's time for a Hork-Bajir sea change. Anyway, cut back to the meadow.
They also sort of mention that, like, the Hork-Bajir are, besides trying to free as many Hork-Bajir as they can and having this, like, hard line of, like, well, if the Yurks attack us, we'll attack them back. The Hork-Bajir are also kind of setting up that they're liberating as many of themselves as possible. So, like, if the Yurks are defeated, the Hork-Bajir have, like, safety in numbers when the humans, I guess, realize there's a bunch of knife birds hanging out in the woods.
Right.
Which, and then Tobias is like, oh, yeah, that's gonna be a problem because humans can't even be nice to each other.
Oh, God, yeah.
Which, like, there's a lot of stuff that Tobias says that I thought was more, like, progressive than I thought a book written in the mid-90s would be, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, me too. I'm looking for, I think it's later in the book that he has that conversation about Boy Scouts, so we can come back to that in a little bit.
Yeah, at this point he says something like, oh, like, I mean, this land used to belong to the Native Americans, and I was like, oh, I didn't expect a children's book to kind of outright say, like,
hey, we, like, colonized this in a really terrible way.
Yeah, hey, we're not that great. No. We had some problems we have to deal with before we deal with these aliens.
Yeah. Oof, understatement of the century. Yeah. But.
So the Animorphs have a meeting. And it's very cute. It was upsetting, though, because, like, Marco and Rachel are, like, ribbing each other as they do. And Tobias is sort of like, I wish I could, like, jokingly,
I wish I could nudge her, punch her shoulder. Yeah, I was like, oh, you bird, I'm sorry.
I was like, Tobias, you can morph human for 15 minutes during
to hang out in the barn. Yeah,
but it's like, at this point in the book he has this whole thing where he's like, I'm not a boy, I'm a hawk, right? Like, I have to
squash my human feelings or I'll never be able to survive in this world,
and I can't tell them about my hawk problems. Those are my bird problems. They're not, they're like, I can't talk to them about it. I have to deal with that on my own because I'm a bird. Because he's, like, that's how he's, like, partitioning everything. And
right, and, like, deal with that any way you possibly can, by all means, but also, oof.
Yeah.
Tobias.
And then they also mentioned that Axe nods, a gesture he learned from humans.
Oh, Axe gets a gold medal, gold star for background. Yeah, for secondary support characters.
Yeah, he has some good parts in this book. I think he Cassie isn't in this one as much, and Axe is sort of picking up the, like, quietly, like, really good friend thing in this book. He's like watching them, like, they have their meeting, they decide to split up and check on the Hork-Bajir, and, like, Rachel and Tobias are assigned together, and Tobias is like, I wish I was assigned with someone else because
we're not talking about roadkill.
I don't want to talk about it, but she saw it. And then they all break to do homework.
Axe is, like, reading over Cassie's shoulder in her physics textbook and just like, but that's not how gravity works at all. Like, you don't understand the strong forces involved in this situation.
And then, like, Cassie's like, I get it. Haha. Like, humans aren't on your level. And Axe is like, that's not what I meant.
It is, though, sweetie. It's okay.
I think also he's just excited that he knows something that is related. Like, I think it seemed like he was trying to be like, look at me, I know what you're talking about, like, I can help you.
Oh, yeah, no, he's coming at it from, like, if you ever want to talk about gravity, I'm here for you.
Yeah. It was so good. Then he makes, like, a gravity joke later, when I was, like, putting together my notes, I was like, was he supposed to be, like, trying to, like, set up the, like, set up for the punchline and he couldn't get there because she didn't go along with it or something?
Oh, Axe tried to make a brick joke.
He's trying to do the joke. Mm-hmm. He heard about these jokes that humans do, and he's trying.
Oh, that's my favorite thing.
And then Tobias watches Rachel turn into a hawk, and
super into it.
He's so into it, and he's like, it's not, like, a weird thing, because, like, she's a completely different kind of bird, and plus, she's morphing a boy bird. It's not, like, a weird, but, like, this is her innermost self coming through, and she's so beautiful as a human, and she's also beautiful as a hawk, because it's, like, her soul. Soul
emerging through her flesh. Like,
it's so beautiful. He loves her at her, like, core self.
Yeah, he loves the scariest parts of her, and I love that so much about them.
It's so good. So they fly off together to go into this action sequence.
Oh, yeah. Oh, they want to spy on his cousin, because they know where...
Arya.
Yeah, they know where Arya is staying. And it's at the
Hyatt. She's at the Hyatt. Yeah.
Not a Hyatt. Days Inn. Wow.
Hyatt, for all your setting a trap for teen needs.
Hyatt, when you've just come back from a safari and don't remember human comfort. This'll do.
Hyatt, this'll do. Hyatt, use our bathrooms. But only the one in your room. Because of reasons.
Because of reasons. Hyatt, probably those floors are pretty strong.
Hyatt, it's pretty good. It's fine. There are birds watching you.
Oh my god. I like that Tobias's animal nerd gets to show through when he tells you about... I know we talk a lot about, like, you can see when, like, one of the authors read the Encyclopedia Britannica and wants to show you a fact about it, but I like... It made sense to me that Tobias would be the one to be like, Rachel can see through the glass because this eagle's eyes were evolved for looking under the reflective surface of the water because he's a dinosaur nerd. Yeah. Like, obviously he would read up about other raptors.
Oh my god! I didn't even make that connection. Oh my god, of course he would.
Of course.
He probably already looked up birds. Like, he probably already was, like, a budding bird watcher.
Yeah. Oh.
So they were, like, watching Arya, and she, like, gets in a cab or something.
Oh, there's
like, gotta find her.
There's a side note where Tobias talks about the surveillance he was doing on his own to figure out where she was staying, and it was really resourceful. I was very impressed. He, like... called her from a payphone, or, like, called the hotel from a payphone after, like, finding quarters on the ground because his eyesight is so good.
Yeah, he was like, oh, I have really good eyesight, so I could find quarters on the ground to make that call.
Oh, goodness.
So then there's, like, a sequence where they were clearly like, we need to have a fun sequence where, like, Rachel and Tobias are like, oh, no, she's on the freeway or whatever, so let's hitch a ride on a cop car.
It's so good.
They flap, and, like, Tobias has to talk Rachel through, like, landing on a moving car and latching themselves on. And they're like, this isn't fast enough. Everyone can see us, but it'll be fine. There's a helicopter. And then Tobias does, like, like, swoop to get on the helicopter. And then Rachel's like, you didn't need to do that. she's parking or whatever.
Oh, it's great. He's, like, showing off his skills in front of Rachel, and I love it so much. Like, Rachel tries to do the same smooth move take off from the cop car and catch the helicopter. And he's, like, flying away with it, like, I'll see you later. And Rachel's like, she stopped the taxi. Come back.
Oh, my God. It's very cute. Yeah. Very, very goofy. But that's what I want from my morphs.
Yep. It's important for balance.
So they're watching her.
The place she has arrived at is the not suspiciously named Frank's Safariland and Putt-Putt Golf. The new sign added to this building, again, not suspicious, tells you that they have just added to Frank's Safariland the Living Razor.
Yeah, so it's a golf course slash terrible tiny zoo.
Yes.
Slash, there's, like, a freak show he's setting up with the Hork-Bajir, which seems, it's like your one-stop shop for terrible things.
Yeah.
Of just, like, sad animals and, like, I'm assuming a badly tended golf course because it seems to be off the highway.
Yeah. No, I'm sure, like, it's Putt-Putt. Like, that's probably some real bad AstroTurf and a tiny windmill.
I was just like, I've never seen a real animal on a putt-putt golf course.
No. I mean, okay, in a world where, like, maybe you could get, like, an android or an animatronic lion stomping around a golf course trying to eat your golf balls, like, I would play that game of golf, but I, too, have never seen a live animal on one.
So they're like, oh, I guess Arya takes pictures of wild animals, so she's here.
This is basically the same, right? Like, taking pictures of caged animals in terrible conditions? That's almost the same.
Yeah, like, I think they sort of justify it, like, they justify it somehow early on, but looking back on it...
Yeah, no, knowing what we know now. oh, gosh.
I will confess that this whole, like, the first half of the book, I couldn't remember what happened in this book very well. So I was wondering if Arya was the girl Andalite who shows up in one of the later books.
Yeah.
I was wrong.
Yeah. No, I was very wrong. Yeah, I thought I remembered, like, something about another stranded Andalite, and I thought that's what was going down.
So I was like, I know there's one at some point. No, this is not her.
No.
Not her.
Ooh. So they need to sneak into this putt-putt, this mini-golf course. And the way they do that is basically that trick in Ocarina of Time where you get, like, the sinking lure and then you can pull the fishing hole guardian's hair off his head if you fishing pole it. But instead, they use a bird.
They also are like, oh, it's $2 to get in. We don't have money, right. So I guess we'll more.
That would be 8 whole quarters. Too hard.
And Rachel distracts the guard by... ripping off his toupee and dropping it on a crocodile. And then Rachel also, like, jokes to Tobias that they should tell Cassie about this terrible zoo because she'd rip it apart.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. Which is, like, they've done that before, right? I think all three of those people, Rachel, Cassie, and Tobias, have all been involved in animal rescues one way or another at this point.
Although, I have concerns about the way they go about it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, me too. Oh, rescue? I don't think this is a rescue. I think this is total destruction.
This is just like...
Right, we don't get to see the headlines like, cool, guys, jaguars in my backyard now, but, like, that's definitely what went down.
I mean, I guess, like, you won't believe this picture of a bird on a cop car would be, like, the top one, and then they're also like, by the way, there's just, like, a
here are the top 10 predators that might eat your children.
Crocodile in a toupee in my backyard?
The truth may shock
so,
you.
They morph in a cobwebbed like a fake ship.
Yeah.
Pirate ship. And they just, like, walk around the golf course like we're humans at the golf course.
/ animal zoo.
And they would see Arya talking to the guy who owns it.
And she's, she's a little stilted and academic, but for a minute I was like, maybe she's a real human, up until she's like... wink, wink, you could present this as an alien and nobody could dispute you. I'm like, oh.
Well, that was when I was like, oh, well, obviously she can't be a bad... It's like, she can't be a controller because she's telling this guy to say this is an alien. Because I was like, don't the Yurks not want humans to know aliens are real? Because then, like, the Yurks will be plausible, but that's not the case. Yeah. I think maybe she was...
I assumed it was either smugness or a trap. Like, maybe the Animorphs don't know about this yet. We need to set alert. Sorry, the Andalite bandits don't know about this yet. Yeah. We need to set some kind of alert.
Yeah, I think it's like they were gonna set that up as like, oh, this would be another thing that might lure these bandits here. But it seemed weird, but in the moment it was good, so whatever. And the owner of this park is unsurprisingly just terrible.
Yeah, Frank's not a good dude.
No, he's like, I'm going to take pictures of this weird bird blade thing and make like $1,000 from this like X-Files sounding investigator who's going to like want pictures of it. So
Arya takes a minute to be like, you should treat these animals better.
Yeah, which was
like,
that was the other thing.
Huh.
I was like, huh.
Maybe she's so bad.
Yeah, she's Visser 3.
We should just say, because 10 seconds after this, she, like, leaves this safari and gets into a giant limo, at which point I was like, we know who likes limos.
Yeah, I was like, why does she have a limo?
There's only one other character in Animorphs who rides in a limo, and it's Visser 3.
Yeah.
Maybe the president, but we haven't seen that.
Like, there's a different moment that, like, tips Tobias off later. She got into a limo. She's not a millionaire.
Right.
Who has a limo when they're a wildlife photographer? Mm-hmm. I don't even know how you would get, like, I mean, I guess I know how you would get a limo. You call a service. But, like who
what
does
qualifications
that?
Do you have to show? Like, may I rent your limo, sir? Please, sir.
I hated Visser 3 in the last book.
Me too.
This book, there were some good moments that are, like, bringing me back, including Visser 3 for no, like, he gets nothing out of telling this man to treat his animals better.
Yeah, except that what if he had a tiger there, Megan? Yeah. Obviously, Visser 3 can't stand for that treatment.
Like, I have to assume that Visser 3 has this, like, passion for animals that he's keeping quiet.
But is he's just, though? Like, I think it slips out here and there. Yeah,
that's true, because when he shows up as himself a couple minutes later, he's talking to, because, like, I think Tobias morphs a Hork-Bajir, because, like, he's acquired, he acquired them in, first book where he met them. He morphs a Hork-Bajir to try to get Toby out, to get Toby to be, like, I mean, not Toby.
Beck
to trust him, and like also slashy arms, they can
good fighting. It's like a big bird. It's fun.
So Visser 3 sees him and is like ranting to this, like, as far as Visser 3 knows, rando Hork-Bajir, mm-hmm. of like, I know that your Hork-Bajir intellect won't understand how cool this morph is, but look at this
acid spitting dragon frog.
Yeah, it sounded super gross, but he's, like, spitting acid all over. Mm-hmm. The other Animorphs show up. There's a fight. Tobias has the little kid, and they're like, Tobias, get back out of here. But then Visser 3 spits a bunch of acid at Tobias, and Tobias is, like, shielding the kid, so he gets a bunch of acid on his back.
So he has to let go of the kid, basically. Yeah.
And he has this, like, impulse to, like, roll around in the mud, and the kid gets taken away in the chaos. Mm-hmm. And Tobias beats himself up about it because he thinks that, like, an animal wouldn't let pain stop them.
Like, a hawk would never have let go of the kid just because of a little pain, which is, like, that's not
true. The opposite?
But I understand that you're depressed, and that's where this is coming from. Like this isn't a logical thing at this point.
Yeah, it's definitely, like, his own problems, mm-hmm. like, him responding to things in a way that is shaped by how he is thinking. But I'm just like, I feel like the animal thing was to do with protecting you. Like, that's what animal, like, they, that's,
gotta, like, stay alive, yeah.
Like, when a human does something like that, they're like, that was my whatever. So he's very upset.
But before he can get too deep into this wallow, here comes our best boy, Axe, running through the woods, leaping into the meadow to make a terrible joke.
Yes. Like, Tobias is, like, sitting there thinking about how he messed up and how, like, I let my human side ruin things. I should mm-hmm. always just be a bird. I should never, like, do anything human. Axe kind of shows up, and he's like, what is up? Nothing is up. Gravity joke. I can't remember what he was. I can't remember, but it was
gravity
really cute. And he's like, hey, maybe we should scope out your cousin. You know, that thing that's important to you, my friend, mm-hmm. instead of that made you sad that you screwed up on. And it's really nice because Tobias is more honest with Axe than he's been with anyone so far. Like, I think he talks
about the roadkill even, or that he is having problems in his meadow. Yeah.
Yeah. Because Axe would understand, more than anyone else. Yeah. They don't get as many moments as I would like in this book, but
I needed so badly for them to have the conversation like that would have happened after Tobias gets this letter, but next time, maybe the next Axe book.
Yeah, like, I think, I mean, at least there's a lot of good Rachel and Tobias moments, which like, in the last Tobias book, there wasn't that much of that, so true. I guess I'll take, it was very good.
I loved this so much,
But yeah, I wanted more Shorm, like their family.
I know. my heart, I cried a lot in this book.
It was really good. Yeah. So the two of them go on, like, an adventure together where they scope out Arya throughout, like, 8 hours of her day.
Yep. And she's mostly just hanging out in the hotel room, so they're just, like, they're watching her, like, walk around, like, look at her phone, like, check her hair in the mirror.
Yeah. Yeah, apparently her checking her hair in the mirror is the smoking gun for Tobias later on.
Did not understand that. Which, like, you clearly don't know, like, how women get socialized. Yeah. Like, yeah, you could go to Africa for 2 years. You could be in, like, a different setting for 2 years and still come back and feel a pressure to need to check that you look acceptable. Yeah.
And also, it doesn't even necessarily, I mean, I guess we didn't see how she checked her hair.
Right. But also, mirrors are shiny.
Yeah. But also, sometimes it's not a, like, I have to look good. Sometimes it's like, there's a weird hair poking up and I don't want that.
Right. Or, like, there's a bug in my hair. I don't know. That happened to me once.
Yeah, because the thing that would be more suspicious to me, which I think based on the way Tobias
narrates
Axe, Axe, I think, gets it earlier where he's like, something seems weird. I think it's like there's some things where, like, in his narration, Tobias is like, Axe, like, see, like, he says, like, Axe says something sort
Axe
of...
is like, well, she's certainly not a controller, but, like, in a suspicious way.
Because she keeps using her room bathroom instead of the... Because I guess she's, like, in the, like, lobby, restaurant, patio or something. But she keeps going upstairs to her room to use the bathroom.
Probably
and
every
like,
2 hours, but Tobias doesn't pick up on that either.
Well, I'm like, I guess Tobias is kind of really hoping at this point that she's for real. Because from what he's seen so far, she seems possibly fine. Like, she seems like maybe she is just a lady who cares about animals.
And I don't think we mentioned that, or we might have, but haven't emphasized it since, that she's not just like, oh, your cousin's here. It's like, your cousin's here and wants to take you in.
Yeah,
like, your cousin wants to offer you a home.
Yeah, and I think he's also not thinking about... He's trying not to think about it, so I think he's sort of scatterbrained about, like, he hasn't accepted that he really wants it to be real, but also is afraid. So, yeah, I think Axe definitely figures it out, though, because there's a couple parts where it's like, Axe will say something, and then Tobias is like, he seemed like, he seemed upset for some reason. Like, I don't really know why, but he seemed, like, angry, or, like, whatever, like, because... Oh, things are going to be bad for Tobias. In the end.
Oh, our poor son. He still hasn't eaten, also. He's still just super hungry.
Snag some fries off the patio for him.
Right, like, be a seagull for 2 seconds. Yeah. It's okay.
Oh my god, just morph seagull and, like, have a... go to town.
Right, there's so much good trash near hotels. Like, it's a Hyatt. What's not to love?
It's a Hyatt. Snacks for birds. Hyatt. Bird buffet.
Hyatt. Fry garden in the garbage.
When Axe first showed up, I was really deeply hoping that he was going to say, like, Tobias,
I'm gonna
you know
take
what makes
you
me feel better?
Yeah!
Eating some snacks.
Yep.
But no.
Stress eat with me, baby.
Oh, just this poor boy. But yeah, knowing that it was Visser 3 now, too, makes the hair thing not funny because he's morphing a woman, but funny because he got so into the morph that he was like, have to make sure that I look right.
Right. No, I was I was impressed with his commitment to, like, his role as a cousin protector and also as, like, a human who's, like, behaving as a good human. Like, this is what
he
humans
was, like,
do. Yeah,
he was, like, method acting.
Yes,
like, this
was,
like,
his
vacation.
His role. Yeah.
Of, like, I will become this human. I will be the best at being this human.
Right. I will be
the most selfless.
Like, I will throw myself in front of a bus.
Yeah, because, like, this ends with, like... They're still watching her, and they're like, I don't know. And then there's a child about to get hit by a car, and Tobias mind screams, like, watch out. I was unclear on if it was, like, full broadcast or not.
Me too.
But then Arya sees the kid and, like, throws herself over and saves the child from traffic, and Axe and Tobias are like, oh, that's legit. I believe her.
Or that's when Tobias is like, well, she's certainly not a controller. A controller would never do that. And Axe is like, no, she's not a controller.
Yeah. Which, technically she is, but I get what he means. okay. Did she notice birds following her and, like, give the signal? Like, now. Send the car to attack this child
oh
now.
Oh my god, I would not put it past
Or has she been doing this...
Is she just saving
days.
Children? Is she just, like, following young children around until, like, one of them makes a misstep? Unclear. She's definitely, like, Arya is definitely aware of Watchers, right?
Yeah.
Like, we know that. We know that's why all this behavior happens.
Yeah, it's definitely, like, I am on stage. I don't know where they're watching me from.
Right.
So I have to stay in character. Mm-hmm. But I have to play this to the hilt. I will be the best human. Yeah. But... I guess it's, like, the time frame of this book is so small that it's, like, not as ridiculous as it would be if this had been, like, a week of following her and her doing good deeds
constantly.
That
would be a real vacation, though.
But I'm just like, what if they didn't happen to be surveilling you because they're busy dealing with the Horcbajir
thing? I did a good deed for no reason. I'm so mad.
But yeah, they're on a time crunch because Tobias's birthday is in a couple days, as far as Tobias remembers.
Oh, Tobias still doesn't know when his birthday is, though.
Yeah. He mentioned earlier that he was only, like...
It's within a couple mostly days of today? Sure. Yeah. Yeah. Right. It's like the 23rd or the 24th or 25th?
Yeah. This poor boy.
I know.
So at this point, Tobias is like, oh my god, she's real. I have a relative who wants to take care of me.
And this, like, is the first point where he kind of allows himself to admit, like you said, how much he desperately wants that.
Yeah. And, like, earlier in the book, he was sort of saying, like, when he was talking about being embarrassed about the roadkill thing and being embarrassed about not wanting to ask for help with the bird stuff, he was sort of like, oh, it reminds me of being my old self, like, human Tobias, who is this, like, weak, bullied person. Like, I hated that guy. But now he's like, oh, maybe I can be a human and not hate that. Like, maybe... Like, things could be okay, and I have, like, family who likes me, but he still kind of can't completely, like, be happy about it either, because he likes being a bird, and he's like, I don't know how I can go live in a house with this lady when I'm a bird all the time, because I like being a bird.
But right, also, I like my sharp eyesight, but also hands were nice. I liked having hands.
Yeah, I like being able to use a doorknob.
and drink a soda. Drink a refreshing beverage.
A refreshing bev.
So he goes to talk to Rachel about this, which I'm very, very glad for.
Yeah.
And they kind of talk through... Rachel's like, I know life isn't great for you right now. I know you've been going hungry. Tobias is like, I can't believe you brought up this embarrassing thing that I did. I can't believe you saw me eat roadkill. And Rachel's...
They have a very, like, grown-up conversation.
Yeah, it was... I was really impressed. Like, she points out, like, I don't care that you ate roadkill. Like, I care about you're not getting the help you need. I care about you deeply, no matter what.
Like, she even was sort of earlier on... Like, she was talking about it without talking about it by going, like, oh, a rabbit? That sounds really good. Because he's sort of like, he's like, oh, it's no big deal, but there's some, like, rabbits in my meadow, and this other hawk keeps trying to eat them. I feel weird about it. And she's like, rabbits seem pretty good. People eat those all the time. Like,
oh, that sounds better than a mouse. And then he, like, he's so ham-fistedly changes the topic, and she's just like, okay, I get it. You don't want to talk. Like, tells him, I get that you don't want to talk about this. We'll move on for now.
But now it's, like, all bubbling over where she's like, okay, we need to talk about it because I care about you, and I know you're, like, spiraling into, like, worrying about this and, like, saying that you don't want these things. Like, you don't want to be a human when, like, I know that you're a human. Like, you are not just a bird. You have human emotions constantly. Like, you can't pretend like you're not at least part human. But she also was sort of saying, like, she also, like, I am sad because I want to be with you, but you're a bird.
It was so good.
And she even is like, oh, it's like a Romeo, it's not like a Romeo and Juliet thing where it's just that our families don't like each other. Like, you are physically not a human most of the time.
Yeah.
Which is just like, this poor girl. But also, she said they're like Romeo and Juliet.
I know. These bird-crossed lovers. And she also, in another instance of, like, pleasantly surprising sensitivity from a book in the 90s, she's like, this isn't even, like, Jake and Cassie, which only a racist moron would care about, which is really, really nice to read.
Yeah, I like that it was just, like, a throwaway, like, yeah, they're different races, but nobody should get upset about that. Which, like, it was just nice the way that it's sort of, like, it's not a big deal. Like, obviously people shouldn't get upset about it.
Yeah, I really appreciated how that was, like, that's the point of view that's normalized in this book throughout, is, like, one of empathy and goodness.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really nice.
And Tobias is, like, he also brings up the other thread he's been having this whole book is, like, back when I was human, I was weak, and that's why I was unhappy. Like, I was bullied because I presented my weaknesses as people, which we know isn't true. Like, we know there are always people who are going to be just assholes no matter what, but this is what Tobias is fixated on, is I can't be weak. And if I can't be an animorph and part of these battles, I'm going to be weak and I'm going to lose all of you. I'm going to lose my friends, the animorphs. And Rachel's like, you wouldn't lose me.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, I think he's not wrong.
Yeah.
Like, I think it would be really hard for them to stay friends with him if he's not actually going on these missions with them. Because
it's their whole life. This isn't a case of, like, oh, you're not one of us. This is a case of literally all of our free time is going into fighting a war.
Like, I could see a version of this series in which he gets, like, where he becomes a human full-time and is their, like,
liaison.
Yeah, they're computer man.
He would hang out with the Chi in my fanfiction. Yeah, like he would go live in dog heaven, and it's fine.
I mean, I love this concept.
Yeah.
I mean, I want this because I want him to have a bed to sleep in and food. Given
just
to
one
him.
French fry. Yeah.
I mean, he's a teen. He's not even
he's
a grown
a
up
teen. Yeah.
But he's not wrong. Like it would change things and. He likes being a bird, just not all the time. Like the ideal situation would be if he just didn't have time limits and could just do what he wanted. But yeah, it's hard. I like that this argument isn't either of them being like the bad guy or like either of them being wrong. It's just like they both have a point of view and it makes sense that they would argue about this because it matters to them and it's just really nice.
And Rachel's still coming from this place of like, she wants to protect him, and she sees getting him out of this war as, like, obviously the solution to that.
Yeah, and that's not, like, he doesn't want that exactly. Like, he wants it, but he also doesn't. And that's, like, really interesting is that he has this, because of course you want to have a family who cares about you, and, like, you want to have, like, a human life because it's easier in some ways than being an animal. But also he knows that it's harder in other ways, and, like, especially since they're alien fighting kids. It was very good. I was really glad they had this argument instead of continuing to have the thing where, like, they don't talk about anything.
Yeah. Oh, God, that's all I ever want is just talk about things. And in the middle of all this, we also learn that Rachel, like, peer pressured Marco into hacking the school computers to find out Tobias's actual birthday, which is, of course, tomorrow.
Yeah. Oh, I love it. I love that, like, off-screen Marco did something nice for his friend. Yeah. And also figured out how to hack the school computers. He's becoming quite the hacker.
Quite the little black hat.
He's the Matrix man. Like
he's Robot,
Neo.
Which I've seen none of.
He's Mr. Robot.
Yeah, he's the one, except in this case, the one is like a gorilla man who also uses humor as a defense mechanism.
He's Johnny Lee Miller in Hackers. He's got some rollerblades on and he's hacking.
Okay, you know what? That's not out of the realm of the possible, given what we've seen of the TV show where he's looking up new wheels for his cool blades. I think that's canon.
That all work together. That'll synthesize into a solid goop. I'm shocked.
Me too. It's nice. It's a pleasant surprise every time.
I glanced over my notes and please let the boy eat. It's like the top thing I underline.
Good. Good. So, Tobias can't
sleep. I wish she had snacks that she offered.
Oh my God, yeah.
Constantly through this book, I was like, this is an opportunity where you could be feeding that boy, which I think is like me getting older and like I'm turning into like a concerned grandma.
Yeah, same.
Already.
Same. It's like, oh yeah. Also, there's a moment in this book where Tobias is like, I think the lawyer was only in his 20s or 30s, so not that old. I was like, do you think 40 is old? What is happening? I guess from 13, I guess when I was 9 and reading these books, I was like, I'll never be 30. But
I mean, from like a 13-year-old perspective, that seems like very like, oh, he's very forward thinking if he thinks a 30-year-old isn't old.
That's a good
if he's
point.
13.
That's a good point.
I definitely thought like you would be like if when you're 30, you're like, that's like middle age. You're like, you are a grown up for sure. Now I'm like, seems not that way.
Yeah,
not quite there yet,
no,
but
it
seems
sure
not
I
that
sure
way.
I don't feel grown up, but it's okay.
And so Tobias is kind of like processing everything. He goes back to the meadow, tries and fails again to eat the rabbit. And he's sort of thinking to himself, well, like I'm going to have family. I'm going to try to be a kid, not forever, but I'm going to morph human and like see what happens. And maybe this will be something really good. And he's sort of like, he's happy and like hopeful. And he's also kind of hyping himself up to act like he's conflicted still. And the hawk is still there watching him. And he still keeps thinking about being the rabbit when he tries to go for it. So he goes and eats some roadkill instead.
Our poor sweet boy. And then he can't get to sleep, probably because he's stressed about this other hawk watching him with hawk-like vision. So he goes to see the Hork-Bajir.
Yeah.
And this is where Toby cuts in with
Toby,
her pragmatic. Her
she pragmatism. Is intense.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess I can't blame her because why? I mean, what else?
She was born in the middle of a war, also, yeah. which I forget. She wasn't literally born yesterday, but she was born like 2 months ago, basically.
Yeah, 2 months ago. Oh yeah. My god. Yeah. So she's like, well, we're pretty sure that Beck has been taken to the facility we keep raiding because they know that we keep going there, and she's like. The bait, and they're gonna have us walk into the trap, and so we have to go, and we have to fight back, and if we have to, we'll blow up the whole place, because we'd rather do that than let Hork-Bajir stay controllers, or become controllers again.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, Tobias also has a trap that he's about to walk into.
Oh.
And both of them are kind of like, well, I have no choice but to go into the trap and try to, like, smart my way out. But yeah, Toby is intense, like, she's saying, like, well, like, Hork-Bajir have to take this stance, otherwise we're all gonna die out, so we have to, like, keep fighting back as hard as we can.
Mm-hmm.
And I do like that Marco is like, you and Rachel need to talk this through. Yeah, like, you'd like each other.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. Yeah, she absolutely understands that you can't make a compromise with the Yerkes. Like, you can't allow them to think that taking hostages is gonna work, and this is what you have to do for the good of your people, and it's horrible and hard and sad.
This is, like, another part where, like, Rachel is sort of arguing that, like, humans do things. Like in war, humans also do the, like, if you're attacked, you attack back just as hard. Like, you don't just stop. There's just a lot of, like, conversations about war from these children.
Oh, these teens, these middle school teens. And this is where Tobias also brings up, like, yeah, it does make sense that you need as many Hork-Bajir as possible, because, like, humans aren't that tolerant of a people. Yeah. Like, probably you're right to be worried that we wouldn't be able to live alongside you if you didn't have, like, strength in numbers to make your voice heard. We're not great about listening to minority voices.
Yeah, this is where he explicitly says, I know humans still get up in arms about, like, a gay kid in the Boy Scouts, and I was like, whoa!
Yeah.
Whoa, this was, like, when that was just starting to be, like, a thing people were upset about.
Right, this was, like 1998, 99, right? And I had to, like, I forget sometimes that, like, Matthew Shepard happened in, like, 1998, like, a year before these books came out, but it was, like, and that was only the most high profile of, like, attacks on queer people, but...
And people are still... that's the Boy Scout thing is still happening.
Right, like there's
that's
still,
what's really sad.
I think there's some progress with, like, you can have openly gay leaders in troops, but only sometimes. Like, still not great.
Meanwhile, the Girl Scouts are awesome.
Girl Scouts have always been cooler about this, but, like, anything else, that's, like, a product of the minds and voices around you and, like, your times.
And also just society in general.
Yeah.
Anyway, I liked that was just sort of, like, a thrown off, like, well, obviously, that's not good, which is cool.
Yeah. Yeah, I know, me too. Good book.
So there's a part where Tobias sees a Hork-Bajir, and the Hork-Bajir is like, oh, hey, you attacked me. I saw you before in the Yerk pool. You cut up my face. And Tobias is like, oh, my God, I'm so sorry. And the Hork-Bajir is like, it's fine. I was being controlled. Like, no big deal. Like, it was fine. And Tobias is like, oh, wait, that makes me think... that, like, humans are also animals, and humans are constantly having to, like, moderate between animal impulses and their higher judgment and dealing with that. So it's not just me who's dealing with this, just I have a more obvious metaphor.
Right, my body forces this upon me, basically.
Yeah. I was glad that he got that, like, perspective on
me
it.
Me too.
Of, like,
it's so
oh,
good.
Humans are constantly having to, like, make these choices about, like, what is... like, having a sense of morality versus what you as an animal need or want or your impulses are.
Mm-hmm. Right, that makes them more human than ever, yeah.
Yeah, Tobias, you're the most human. And then they go check out this Yerk base thing.
Right.
Axe gets really snippy about how the Dracon Beam, he's like, Dracon Beam. It doesn't need to be this big. If they had proper engineering, they could make it so much smaller and more efficient.
Right. It's like, their death weapon? Not deadly enough. I could do it much better. And again, it's coming from a place of, like, he's excited that he knows about something. It was just really funny to read.
I thought at first that he was mad because I think a Dracon beam is an Andalite tech. Mm-hmm. So I was like, oh, he must be mad because they're using like, and no, he's mostly mad that
they did a bad job. Yeah.
Like if you're going to build a weapon based on things that my people came up with, at least
you're right. Yeah.
They should have talked to me, the child.
Oh, sweet boy. So now on top of rescuing Beck, they obviously have to destroy like this mini Death Star.
Yeah, they all air their bug traumas.
Oh God, that was
as
good.
They decide what to morph to get in.
That was great.
Like they're all like, remember that time when like I almost died as an ant and then as a cockroach, and then Jake's like, remember that time?
As a fly, and Mark was like, that's not helpful. But
Jake's like, remember that time when I had like intense problems and I'm probably still dealing with it. Yeah. Like,
remember how we all have PTSD?
Cool. Yeah, remember all right, like pick- how. Around bugs are just bad news.
Right, okay, everyone pick your least traumatic bug. There's gotta be one.
Oh, and then they do. Oh, they do, because basically
it's
the
like a menagerie.
Can,
yeah.
Yeah. So the Hork Bajir can get in no problem. Mm-hmm. And so they all morph their fave bug.
Unfave bug.
They don't say who everyone is. We know Marco is morphing the spider. Because he's like, that's what I'm doing. We know Tobias is a flea. I think besides that, there are two cockroaches and a mosquito. Yeah. And
wait,
maybe
can
a
they
fly.
Be? They can't be mosquitoes because then they end up in Z space, right?
Oh, not a mosquito. A horse, whatever kind of fly.
Something else. Something else. Sorry. Yeah. I just got really upset at the thought of one of the kids like poofing out in the middle of a fight and like, no.
So for a minute, I was like, I kind of want to figure out who everyone else is, but now I can't remember exactly which. I know there were two roaches, so I was
it's
probably Jake and Cassie.
Right. Well, I'm sure probably like, Cassie would want to morph that morphs. To support him. Yeah. Nobody's going to be
I'll
a support
you in this morph. Nobody. Oh, no. My goodness. No. I wish you could, like, get rid of morphs you don't want to use.
Yeah, like just like from my DNA.
Like, just, like, when it's, like, I don't want this. Like,
I'm going to think really hard about the opposite of a cat.
Like, I don't want to accidentally morph this.
Mm-hmm. I don't want to, right. Like, what if one of them is allergic to another morph down the line? They don't want to suddenly be turning into a termite by accident.
Yeah, like, Rachel still has that, I guess she got rid of the crocodile DNA.
She burped
DNA.
The DNA, right.
That was the only person
Wait, is that the only way you can do it? Do you have to find a way to deliberately burp the DNA?
Can you, like, on the Andalite homeworld, are they, like, if they weren't
is there a
doing
clinic?
A war,
yeah.
Would they have, like, vaccines?
This is
like,
how you clone people, yeah.
Yeah, like, I get, I have allergies, so I get these shots where they have venom of the things I'm allergic to, and I build up a tolerance by getting these shots of venom.
Oh,
of,
that's
like,
badass.
Yeah. It's really... I can't believe it works.
No, me neither, but I love it.
But yeah, I mean, that's how you build a tolerance to stuff. Like, Iocane powder!
Like, Iocane, yeah, exactly. I spent the last several years building up an immunity to this wolf spider morph.
So,
wait, so do you just morph it a little bit every day? How does this work in this analogy?
You
like,
get a little
I'm
bit
go
of
around
DNA.
With a spider arm.
You get only enough DNA to morph, like, a crocodile, like...
Tooth.
Like, a crocodile, like, anime character. Like, you know,
oh
like the equivalent of a cat girl.
Yeah.
Like a crocodile girl.
Oh, so you just have to be a furry time. For a minute, and then you get rid of a morph.
I mean, it takes a while to get to the furry stage.
That's
it's like
true.
That. It's like that chart.
Oh,
of
yeah,
the
degrees
between,
of, right, like, yeah.
like, the many, many stages between full animal.
Yep.
Furry. Mm-hmm. Midway.
Cat girl, yeah.
Cat girl, and then just someone
like
in a
full,
cat outfit.
Yeah. Anyway,
oh God, I wish the Andalites had time for this.
Me too, guys. If you could just stop making war for a minute, you could just, really help us out.
Oh, if the Yurks were just,
I mean, chill.
They're not evil, I guess.
Yeah.
Like, that's the thing we're slowly getting, and the Andalites are just bad news.
Yeah.
Too a little.
Yeah. Oh well, maybe more than a little given the recent events. But
yeah,
nobody's perfect.
I mean, as of the Andalite Chronicles, a lot.
Yeah.
But,
oh my God, I don't. Yeah, yeah. In the back of my mind, this entire book, I had a running commentary of, like, Visser 3 is the worst,
yeah.
But I love him.
Oh, he's gone back in my good graces.
Yeah,
this
I
book.
Know, and I kind of hate it because the things he did in Andalite Chronicles still feel, like, inexcusable to me, and I still have real problems with those scenes. So
yeah.
I don't know what the right way to
I'm
handle
conflicted.
That is. Like, I guess just take it book by book, and in this particular book, like... I was charmed by him in that dangerous, sleazy way.
Yeah. Oh, like, I wouldn't want to be his friend. That would be terrible.
No.
I don't want him to be real.
No.
But he's fun to read.
Yes. Sorry. Like, sorry. In this fiction, I'm into it. But no.
Yeah. No, it's...
Let's be real clear.
He's a lot of fun in this book.
Yeah. But he's deeply problematic.
Deeply.
He's got lots of problems.
It's the definition.
Yeah. Yeah, like, I think so.
There's no question
to me. He is my
me.
Problematic fave.
Oh, absolutely. they go in there as animals.
Yes, they ride the Hork-Bajir as bugs.
And they have a fight.
Yeah, they fight. They have to blow up the weapon. And this is where a helicopter flies in the middle of this flight.
Yeah.
And all the controllers are acting like it's a bigwig, right?
Yeah, Arya is on it. So Tobias realizes, like, oh, she's like pointing at something.
She's like giving orders, basically, as he can see this person who is Arya, giving orders to other controllers.
So Tobias is like, oh, I was wrong. That's Visser 3. And understandably, he does not deal with it well and
this
kind of,
was
like,
hard
track
to read.
Of everything.
Yeah. This is, I don't think we've ever seen him lower than this. He falls out of the sky.
Yeah, it's like in book 4, where he got really upset and crashed through the mall.
Oh
and
my god,
was like really
you're right.
Hard
I'm
to
sorry.
Read.
Sorry, when he flew through the glass window. Right, I forgot.
It's
that.
Similar.
Yeah,
like
no, it is very much in keeping with that.
And he's even kind of like yelling at himself, like "I hate you, Tobias," because like I think that's how he's dealing with everything. Is thinking about his human self as this like separate being, like that's the human me.
Yeah,
I'm a bird now. I'm not that anymore. I don't need to think about that anymore because I'm a bird now. And he was starting to kind of be like, oh, maybe it's okay to be a human because maybe things will all be okay. And now he's like, oh no, it was stupid to ever hope that things would be not terrible.
Yeah, no, he's in this loop of like hating himself for allowing himself to have this hope that he's now like, I have to crush this weakness that we call hope.
Yeah,
I can't allow myself to be human.
He just
lies in the dirt and like screams at himself, and it's really deeply sad.
This poor guy. And then, basically the fight wraps up because the Hork-Bajir show up, the free Hork-Bajir show up, and like, I mean, it is their fight, so it felt right that they would be the ones kind of like coming through at the end.
Yeah.
But they blow up the base. The Anorfs are all okay. Beck is okay.
Yes.
Toby finds Tobias and brings him to Rachel, and he's like, I don't know how she knew to bring me to Rachel, but I...
Again, like, she's psychic. I'm always willing to believe people are psychic.
Yeah. And they take him back to the barn, and Cassie's kind of checking him out, like, oh, are you okay? Like, where are you hurt? And Tobias is like, I'm not hurt!
In my
like,
soul!
He's like, I screwed up, and I'm the worst, and it's really tough, because he is finally being honest with them, so it was sort of nice that he's, like, finally airing, like, the fact that he's having problems right now, and he's talking to them about it, but it's definitely from a, like I hate everything about myself, let me tell you about how terrible I am right now, which is hard, because I love this bird boy.
Yeah. So, right, this is all framed as, here's how much of a trap I have to walk into.
Yeah.
And if I don't go, they will for sure know there's a connection between, like, me, Tobias the human, and the Andalite bandits. And also,
and
none of you, like, you all the Animorphs have to be visibly elsewhere, again, to emphasize, like, hey, there's definitely not a connection between us and this rando boy.
Yeah. It's like, he's even saying, like, oh, I think I understand now why soldiers say, like, oh, when I fought, I was fighting for the guys beside me.
Oh, yeah.
Not the cause. Because he's like, I'm only able to do this.
He doesn't care about the world anymore. Like, he doesn't care about himself anymore.
Yeah. Like, he's only doing it because he wants to protect his friends. Because he's like, I know they know that me and Jake were friends. And through Jake, they can get to Rachel. Like, they can get through everybody if I let them down in this trap I'm walking into. In which, like, all of these things I want are being dangled in front of me. And I have to pretend like I'm cool with it.
Pretend that you don't care in the slightest. Pretend to be like a rough and tumble, like
street rat.
Yeah,
he's Aladdin. But what I really like though is that what ends up saving him in this last horrible trap he walks into is the fact that he is who he is.
Yeah,
because the fact that he can't emote well anymore,
or he's forgotten how to. Yeah,
yeah, the fact that he can't do the face things very well anymore.
Saved
because he's always a bird
lives.
That ends up being the thing that helps him is the fact that he is this half human, half animal, half bird, half boy thing. Yeah. Like, that ends up being his, like, it's really nice. And yeah. it was really naturally, like, it, they came to this really naturally. Like, it's something that has been set up for many books, and it makes complete sense. It's not like, suddenly this is a thing.
Mm-hmm. No, they're always talking about, like, yeah. his weirdly hawk-like movements, yeah. even when he's in his human morph. And I love that.
It's so good. It's, yeah. and it's like, it plays into all of his things in this book. Right. Like, all it's of his themes about... It's such a
nice tie-in to that yeah. balance that he's struggling for.
Like, he has to be who he is exactly yeah. to get out. It's so nice.
It's so good.
I mean, it's
terrible. Like, yeah. No, this is like time three that I cried at this point, probably. Yeah. But just, like, through this whole scene.
And he's also, like, he morphs human to walk to the loft.
Oh, God. He's like, and he's, like, shaking the whole time because he's so scared. So, right. And it's his birthday. Did we mention
yeah,
today?
Yeah, it's his birthday. The worst birthday.
He's probably, like, 14.
Yeah, I was like, oh, I bet Elfanger was like, my son will probably be old enough to process this at 14. Maybe a little young, but... So he morphs human. He talks about how human walking is slow.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, I walk so slow as a human. And then he's like, oh, I have no family, but I can fly. So I'm like, at least he still loves flying.
Oh, at least we can all agree flying's great.
So he goes into the office. He has to pretend like everything's cool and he doesn't care.
That Arya is there and Arya is there. Yeah.
Arya hugs him.
Oh.
Which is the worst. And I'm just like, Visser 3
had to get coached on hugging. Whose job was that?
And Visser 3 is the one who, begins it.
Yeah, initiates the hug.
He initiates the hug. Which, I don't know how much workshopping that must have taken.
A lot. There was a whole line of controllers. Visser 3 had to go down and hug everyone until they got it right.
Yeah. Ugh. So, poor Tobias has to stand there and act like he's not moved by anything. They read this letter from Elfangor.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I think at this point, like, he's still kind of hoping that he's wrong, that she's maybe not a full, like, not, like, top-level controller. Maybe she's, like, lower down. But he remembers the mirror thing. And he's like, that was it. That was the thing that told me. And then DeGrout is, like, acting like, oh, here's my super powerful alien boss.
Right. And also definitely do not want a hug. Do not want a handshake.
And they read this letter to Tobias that is actually from Elfangor. It's not a made-up letter.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really nice. It's, like, saying, like, oh, like, I couldn't be there. And I'm really sad that I never got to meet you. But right. I know, like... It's really nice.
Yeah, like, there's a lot in it about, like, Elfangor's been called back to his duty in this great war, and, like, he knows his son is going to be thrust into it, too. And it breaks his heart that they'll never get to know each other, but he wanted to love him.
Yeah, and Tobias is like, oh, but we, and Tobias is like, oh, but I did see
him. He just wanted to love him so much.
It's so good.
Excuse me.
And the thing that balances it is that he, like, Elfanger also goes, by the way, I'm an alien.
Yeah.
Which at least gives Tobias something to go, like, oh, how do I act like this doesn't matter to me? So he gets to go, like, oh, of course, my bio dad thinks he's an alien.
Right.
Typical Tobias. Right.
My life is real rough.
And he's like, oh, do you want a break?
No, I'm good. Sorry.
No, it's fine.
I'm done sniffling. I got that out of my system. They just love each other so much. Good.
Like, he wants to be there.
I know. He wanted it so badly.
I can't believe his human name was Alan Fang.
That was a treat to get to read again. Yeah, I love, like, that he says that, and he's like, you may know me by another name, though.
Yeah.
One syllable, like, off.
Yeah, but he does say, by the way, I'm a space alien. which, thank God he does, because then Tobias is able to go, like, he didn't even leave me money, and he tells me that he's an alien in an intergalactic war. Thanks for that,
right,
guy.
Thanks for nothing, everybody.
And then, like, DeGrout is even like, let me read that again to you. My name is Elfangor, the alien name. Like, does that... And then, like,
they're both, like, watching him so closely for a response, and he's like, Man, I'm glad I don't know how to move my face.
So glad that that takes, like, effort to do, because that's saving my butt. Mm-hmm. Like, even, like, oh, the lawyer was, like, definitely had memorized the letter and was now just watching
me. Yeah, he's not even reading the letter anymore.
So, yeah, Tobias does play it off. He, like, as like he is feeling a lot of emotions, but his, like, face isn't showing it. He's doing so good.
And then Visser 3 cannot resist, like, taking a moment to basically gloat.
I thought it was, like, a,
also, like, an acknowledgement of, like, the power, like, the, like, I admire your strength in wartime, my enemy. Like, you are my enemy, but I can recognize that you're real good at your job.
No, that's what I read it as, because this is after he's written off Tobias as, like, oh, he's just a kid. This, like, lead we thought we had, he's just some kid who wants money.
But he still can't resist. I love that he still can't resist. Like, it's in a way, it's building up his own ego, too. Like, I am Elfangor's equal, and that's why I'm allowed to say this thing about him.
Which, like, if Tobias was a regular kid, this makes Arya, in quotation marks, sound even more, like, bizarre.
Yeah.
Because Tobias is like, okay, well, are we done here? Because I really don't want to stay with you. Like, I am doing fine. And, like, you don't really want to do that, right? And Arya's like, I make it called back to take some photos
of lions. I have to go back to my home planet. Bye.
Like, the excuse is actually, I have to take photos of lions. Which I love. As, like, this is, like, Visser 3, like,
Visser 3 can't stop thinking about big cats.
Well, okay, look, how much time does he spend farming, like, new alien morphs? Like, he's an animal lover.
Yep.
And, you know, if he just wasn't a parasite who forcibly takes over bodies, it'd be so much fun to see Visser 3.
Like, he sounds like he cares about animal welfare, too. Like, get him a job at a zoo. He'll be
okay. If only,
a wildlife
concern
preserve. Get him at a raptor center. I don't know.
If only this concern extended itself to
to sentient
animal team
beings.
Fest.
Yeah, but no.
But I like that, like, his backstory he created for his OC that he's living out. Is that, like, oh, she takes photos of animals.
Yeah.
Because
really good photos, though. She's the best at what she does.
Yeah, so good. Mm-hmm. And then he's like, oh, well, don't worry, because I'm too busy. But, by the way, your father and I, we're on opposite sides of, let's say...
A conflict.
Which, like, if you're a human boy, like, where would your mind even go? Like, what are you talking about?
Like, we were fighting over the same lion photos for a while, and I didn't agree with his photography skills, but...
You don't know about the things we've been through in the animal photography
National Geographic is brutal. I tried to get on planet Earth, and David Attenborough tried to kill me. It's real harsh.
You know how me and David Attenborough have a beef with your father.
That's
and
nothing.
Steve Jobs were
and
just
Bill,
fighting
yeah, Bill
Gates.
Yeah, Bill Gates. And Wozniak? Then Joe Bob Finestra, like the trifecta of computer geniuses. Also,
you
did I mention
how...
my twin?
Did I mention my twin? Who's, I guess, still at large.
Oh, yeah.
Unless he got eaten by a tiger.
I guess that's still unclear.
But yeah, I actually like that he's telling, like, well, you know, like, we were on opposite sides of a conflict, but he was a smart man, or, like...
Yeah, he was no fool, and the galaxy will not soon see his like again, which I
like,
really
it was
liked. Yeah,
kind of nice, because there's literally no reason. It's like the thing about the animals where it's like, there's no reason for you to do this. There's, like, you have zero things you're getting out of this, and if anything, you're making your life fall apart.
Yep.
But I kind of... like that you're doing like
me too.
So Tobias leaves, he morphs into a bird and then morphs back because
he hears like as he's walking out he hears like the two of them, Visser 3 and DeGroat, being like, well, that was a waste, like this kid obviously doesn't know anything and is definitely not an Andalite, so that's good, like he did it, he survived.
Yeah. I think this is where they specifically say street rat.
Oh yeah,
like,
riff rap.
Did Aladdin come out this year? Like, you can tell
must
me
have,
book
yeah.
I think maybe not, but so Tobias leaves. He morphs human so we can
hooligan.
Cry.
Sorry, I've been trying to come up with the word hooligan for like a year, but he's a hooligan.
He is.
The part he's playing.
He's like, he dresses in Tommy Hilfiger and lives in a somewhere? We don't know. But I like that Visser 3 is like, not my problem.
Yeah.
Like, it's over. Elfangor's kid
my
is like good for nothing.
Ends. Yeah. So, yes, so he morphs back to Hawk to leave.
Yeah.
But then he has to morph back to human because he wants to be able to cry.
But that's also, like, that's really good that he's at a place where he can be like, I want to be human. I want to feel the human feelings and do the things humans do, like cry, because animals can't do that.
I love that. I love that
so much.
He's
so good. I was really glad, although I was like, I wish you would also go hang out with your friends because you need to see them right now. But he's, like, dealing with some stuff. And then the last part is that he goes back to his meadow where the hawk is. He's facing the hawk and the rabbits again. And he's sort of thought through all the things that he was dealing with in the beginning. And he like, goes and grabs the mother rabbit, acquires her, like, and he's, like, knowing that as he does this, he's going to be thinking about what the rabbit is feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Then he acquires the rabbit, so it's part of him, like, it becomes in him. Then he eats her because he is a hawk. But then, like, the other hawk, I guess, is watching all this, and Tobias, like, morphs the mom rabbit and, like, leads all the baby bunnies into
the safety
burrow.
Temporarily, yeah.
So is he gonna bunny babysit?
I can't tell if it's, like, Cassie with the skunks and he's gonna try to continue doing this, or if this is just, like, his brief compromises, he's gonna give them a fighting chance.
Yeah, I mean, I think maybe it was also like, oh, if I protect the bunnies long enough, the hawk will, the other hawk will stop.
We'll leave, we'll figure this territory isn't worthwhile anymore. Yeah, maybe. I hope he solves that problem. I want him to have a good meadow.
I believe in him. Yeah. I hope. And then he flies to Rachel.
Oh my gosh.
And it's really nice because he says, like, oh, I woke her up in the middle of the night and she, like, was like, oh, there's a bird in my room. I guess I have to be awake.
Right.
In, like, a, like, she knows it's a big deal kind of way.
Yeah, and she's, like, giving him the out of allowing him to take some emotional space.
And then he gets to have a birthday cake and a candle.
God. He blows it out by flapping his wings. And Rachel just says, happy birthday, Tobias. And that's the end of the book.
Oh, like, the worst birthday ever for him, but also kind of nice.
But also now he knows his dad was a space prince.
Yeah, so I desperately want him and Axe to talk about it.
I need them, too. I need them, too.
Unfortunately, when I was looking up about this book to see if there's anything interesting trivia-wise, they don't ever have an on-screen conversation about it.
You're kidding.
They do say, but apparently there's stuff where, like, Axe does know.
Okay. So we just don't, that's just an off-screen.
We just don't see it.
I guess that makes sense, because next up is, like, a silly Cassie book, so it would be weird for them to take time
to do that. I just wish there was, like, just the beginning of a scene, even, of just him and Axe sort of, like, Tobias being like, I have something to tell you. And, like, me and Axe were happy Shorm brothers.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm so glad he knows now, because I think, like,
you can call him Uncle Axe, it's gonna be great,
And, it, like, Tobias spends a lot of this book thinking about how he doesn't feel like a human boy, and now it's like, oh, like, the answer is that you weren't really, like, you were something else all along, so, like, that feeling is validated, kind of, like, you are something else, like, there's, and it's, like, the beautiful, like, the thing from Andalite Chronicles of, like, the beautiful, like, accident of, like, your dad being able to come to Earth and, like, this thing that got retconned, but you're still like, it's really nice.
It's so good. Oh, man. Well, now that we've told you all about this book, I still think you should go read it.
It was a good one.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess maybe the added weight of, like, after all these books, I have such an emotional connection to these kids. I spent this whole book, like, every paragraph going, Tobias!
Just get a snack, get a nap, hang out with your friends.
Like, please, can the Yorks, like, can they call a truce for, like, a month?
Yeah, like a Christmas Day truce, I'm sure.
Yes, they can have, like, a vacation.
Mr. Gray can go take photos of lions. Jinx.
Go,
and everyone else can have snack naps.
Go on a space safari, acquire some cool, like, peaceful morphs. Just, like, fun,
just really beautiful ones. Yeah.
Yeah, really pretty.
Things that are, like, nice to look at.
I did Google tigers when this book was over.
You Googled tigers?
Yeah, the animal. I think, like, the thing I went down was I was looking at the wiki for this, and they said that Jake is a specific kind of tiger. And then I was like, oh, I didn't know there were different kinds of tigers. Then I was looking at pictures of tigers, and I was like,
nice.
These are some good animals.
Yeah.
I see where
they're very handsome. They're very handsome creatures.
They look like my cat, just big.
Yeah, big, and they can do the noise that we talked about like 20 years ago.
Can't they all just be tigers and be nice to each other?
Oh, I'd read that book. The Red Wall, but with tigers, and also it's nice.
Tiger Wall.
Tiger Wall. Oh, man.
That's what Red Wall was missing. There were no tigers.
Yeah, you're right. That would be, that would certainly change the dynamic of here are 27 mice and a tiger. Good luck.
Good luck.
Solve this riddle, kids. Anyway, ooh, that was book 23, The Pretender. Next
so
up
the next one is a Cassie book?
Yeah, it's book 24, The Suspicion. This is the one with the anteater on the cover.
Okay, do yourself a favor and Google the inside cover of this book.
Yeah, it is something. I think, yeah, a long time ago we talked about this.
I think somewhere floating on my hard drive I have the like part of us talking about book covers when we were testing audio.
Oh, yeah.
Because I just...
Oh, the lost episode.
Yeah. Because, oh, my goodness. Yeah. Like, this book cover, like, okay, the front cover with the morphs is always, like, wild. The inside cover in this book, I think, is, like, 20 times more, like, what's going
incomprehensible.
On?
Incomprehensible. Yeah. Yeah. If you've never picked up an Animorphs book and you look at this inside cover, like, I challenge anyone to... I would love to hear what you think is going on, actually. Please tell me.
I mean, I read this book. I don't remember anything. I have no... I don't know what... There's a tiny four-legged man in a, like, microscope cutaway.
I remember some good details, but I don't remember how it all fits together, and I'm excited to read it.
Like, I'm excited.
Me too.
So, I think we deserve a goof book.
Yes. Because
this book was very good. I really enjoyed reading this one. But it was
also
very
rough.
Intense.
Yeah.
But I'm just so glad Tobias is happier.
Me too. Me too. Oh, man, if anybody deserves it, it's all of these kids!
All of them.
So, this has been Morph
this
Club.
This has been Morph Club.
You can find us on Twitter at Morph Club Cast, or on Facebook, searching for the Morph Club Cast.
Yes. And we are on iTunes if you'd like to leave a review or rating. That helps us, and we'd be grateful. That's it.
I'm Carrie.
Are we... I'm Megan.
Bye.
Bye.